Garden City. It's cheaper to keep her, so take her to Leaper. The Rock.
Broadcasting live from the WKBC studios in Garden City, this is the Morning Roundup with Baylen Height and Derek Decker on 99.9 The Rock.
I'm so sad. Derek is not with me in person this morning, unfortunately. I had a lot of fun with him yesterday, getting to do the show in person. That was a ton of fun. But we're still back. We're still rocking. We're still rolling. It's the Morning Roundup here on 99.9 The Rock. Baylen Height, Derek Decker with you for what has been an awesome week of sports coverage so far. And we're going to start, where should we start? I don't know. Maybe with the biggest college basketball matchup in the state last night. Kansas State in Kansas. Wildcats get the win. Biggest win for Kansas State in probably five or six seasons. 83-82 over the Jayhawks. Keontae Johnson and Desi Sills, 24 points for K-State. Sills came into the night averaging just short of 9 points per game. Jalen Wilson, 38 points, new career high for Wilson, 9 rebounds for KU. Kansas had to battle. It was not an easy game for the Jayhawks. K-State did just enough. One of the best, in my opinion, inbound calls out of a timeout we've seen this season for Jerome Tang. Goes right to the cup, right around Jalen Wilson. And the Kansas State Wildcats secure the win in the Hexagon of Doom. Boy, what a game. Jerome Tang probably up top and potentially the Coach of the Year award for the Big 12. Derek, I know you had some high school basketball. I know you weren't able to see a lot of this one live. You were able to catch the tail end of it. But, I mean, this is the story of college basketball, the story probably in the state this morning. I mean, these two teams are back to being fierce competitors. It's fun to see that game number one of these two teams matching up. We'll have another one on January 31st, this one from Lawrence, but a ton of fun and one of the best games of the year so far.
Yeah, no question about it. And I think everybody roots for rivalries to be good, right? We all want to see teams be competitive, and K-State has been owned by Kansas the last several years. And I think this is really good, not only for the rivalry itself, but for the state of Kansas and for college basketball as a whole. Again, anytime you see a good rivalry, it helps out the sport. Everybody wants to watch rivalry games. It's what makes college sports that much more special. And the way that this game evolved, Kansas had some opportunities to kind of pull away, and they couldn't do it. And again, it's on the road, and it's very difficult to do, and K-State finds a way to win. And you know, we sat here talking about it, and it always concerned me because, again, it's a rivalry game, and it feels like K-State has been building up this season to a moment like this. But we discussed it yesterday on the show. You know, is K-State, you know, how do they beat them? That was the question I asked yesterday. How do they beat them? And they did. And one of the ways they did it, in my opinion, going back and watching stuff from this game, is obviously Jalen Wilson goes off for 38. And this is kind of one of those situations where I'm not saying, obviously they had KJ Adams who had 17 and Grady Dick had 16. So both those guys had solid games as well, especially KJ Adams, I thought, played seriously well, very efficient in his time in the game, but he fouled out, of course. But regardless, I thought he was really solid in the game. I thought he was the second best player for Kansas far and away. Grady Dick had to get 16 points, took him 13 shots to get there, and he was only 1 of 8 from 3. K.J. Adams was 6 for 6 from the floor. So I thought he had a solid night. Regardless, do you think this is maybe the strategy for teams to beat Kansas? Not necessarily specific to K-State, Baylen, but teams to beat Kansas is let Jalen Wilson be Jalen Wilson, go get his points, and then try to take away the second and third options.
I think that's a strategy. I don't know if it's the strategy. Because for me in this game, what I saw was Grady Dick kind of having a freshman first half, right? He struggled, wasn't able to get his shot, but then you saw him make adjustments in the second half, I think. Not necessarily the game adjustments, nothing really maybe Bill Self or the team had kind of planned around him, but you mentioned the poor shooting overall for Grady Dick. He still finishes with 16 points, and a lot of that damage came in the second half. Felt like he kind of slashed a little bit better, was taking some better shots and finding his shot better. So I'm not sure if it was necessarily kind of that setup from Kansas State
or the idea, the game plan, or more so maybe just Grady Dick being a freshman in those moments. In the second half, he kind of collects himself and comes back. Kevin McCullough, that was a surprise. You know, he battled through foul trouble. To see him finish with 0 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, still affected some things. I think that maybe, once again, what we're seeing is just these... This game last night felt very circumstantial, right? It just felt like with the way the game was being called by the officials, you got a combined 67 free throws. Kansas finishes 24 for 34. K-State 26 for 33. And in total, nearly 50 fouls between the two teams. 25 on KU, 24 on Kansas State. I just don't, it's hard for me to get a lot out of this game, right? There's a lot of avenues you can take, but it also just felt, for me watching this game, like I didn't learn a ton about each team in ways that they were successful. More so, I learned a lot in which ways, when things aren't working for them, what they needed to do. KU did not shoot the basketball very well from beyond the arc, just 6 for 29, and they only lose by one. I mean, you put any other team in the Big 12 in that circumstance against K-State in this moment, I don't think they're able to get the job done or get that close as KU did. What does stand out to me, two things for K-State. You know, they got the scoring when they needed to. The moment did not matter as much, I think, for them didn't affect them as much. It meant a lot. Did not affect them as much. Naquan Tomlin, 15 points. Keontae Johnson, 24. Marquise Noel, though, only 4 points. That was surprising. They had Desi Sills. He did step up with 24. But I think that was a surprise. We saw K-State make adjustments. We saw Kansas make adjustments. Both teams had to make adjustments because the either team, either they weren't competing themselves well or they were being shut out by each other in ways that they wanted to score and do some things with the basketball. I felt like we learned a lot about Jalen Wilson. 38 points, obviously 9 rebounds in 45 minutes, played the entire game. Did not shy away from the moment whatsoever. And we learned a lot about Jerome Tang. You know, he's able to call a timeout. And in that moment, I'm not saying the whole game, but in that moment, in overtime, able to outcoach Bill Self, set something up perfect out of the timeout, and win K-State that basketball game. And I'm somebody who has no lean, right? I will say I've been a fan of K-State on the surface just because of how low they were projected to go in the Big 12. And that wasn't as much a knock against K-State, just how good the Big 12 was. And he kind of had a feeling, watching them win games, some close, some not so close, only with 2 losses, 1 in conference play to TCU, and it was like, you know, this team should be being talked about more. They might be legit. You know, what Jerome Tang has put together might be legit. But I was so impressed with Jalen Wilson and overall just so impressed with these two teams that it comes down to 1 point. I can't wait for the rematch at KU. I think it'll be a little bit different. I think KU might be able to, you know, do some things that they weren't able to do against K-State. And I think the same could be said for K-State, though, because they're going to make adjustments too. I think Kansas State has found a good one in Jerome Tang. You cannot let him leave that building. You've got to lock him down. Give him whatever he wants, because you know Texas more than likely is going to come calling at the end of this season, I would assume. There's just so many things we can talk about, right? Jerome Tang, is he going to be the coach of the year? Is Jalen Wilson now a player of the year? He's certainly an All-American, but does he deserve that maybe more so than Zach Edey? I don't know, because of what Edey's done for Purdue. But I don't know. Back to your original point about which way did it go? Is this the blueprint to beat Kansas? Maybe. But you saw, even with what K-State did, with Kevin McCullough not scoring very well, actually not scoring at all, Grady Dick not playing his best first half of basketball, and sure, Jalen Wilson went off, they still only lost by one on the road in one of the toughest environments they've played all season long. So I don't know if that's a blueprint or more so just a one-off for KU and K-State, and you got to find a way to win in whichever way you can.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think here's the kicker, okay, with K-State. At what point do we stop questioning whether they're legit? Like, this is a team, what else do they have to do? I mean, I know some people in the national stage are still saying, rivalry game. Like, it's easy to push this team aside, but they're 16-2, and they have some great, great wins. I mean, you could stack their resume up against some of the best in the nation in terms of quality of victories. And so I think it's just the ship has sailed. The argument has sailed to say, K-State's just an unproven team, weak, non-con, whatever. Like, that is way, way gone, especially considering the performance last night. This is a team that can hang with anybody in the country. I don't care what anybody says. This is a K-State team. Right now, I am firmly able to say this is a team that can hang with and compete with and theoretically could beat any team in this country. And so the fact that K-State, you know, put on the show that they did last night, especially with the fans, and it was great, by the way, to see the fans back out there because, again, fans have kind of been leery to come out to games still at the start of the year. You know, you kind of saw some weak crowds in the non-con and people still weren't 100% behind this team. Well, if they weren't then, they are now. And this thing has completely changed, especially with Jerome Tang's little theatrics after the game. You know, it just a tremendous win for K-State. I love what they've been able to do this season. And I think there's an argument to be made that they're not just a feel-good story so far. Granted, there's a long way to go. But they're not just a feel-good story in the Big 12, but in the entire nation as well. And I think you're right on the Coach of the Year possibility. I think Jerome Tang certainly got a good argument, and there's some legitimate things to break down here when we talk about Jerome Tang. And I can tell you right now, I don't know what he's thinking in his mind, but this is the kind of performance that gets you hired at a much higher profile place than Kansas State. If somebody needs a head coach, of course, Texas is hiring, but I'm just saying other places that theoretically could look at him after this year if things continue to go well in Manhattan.
Certainly right. Let's play a fun game, and it's the way too early projection game. So KU coming into the year, we're going to talk expectations now, where we're at in the season versus where they were at the beginning of the year for both of these two teams. We're going to start with KU. Me and you, Derek, at least I know for sure, me and I think you made this comment yesterday, we were certainly duped by Bill Self's pregame or preseason presser where he kind of came out and said, we got a long way to go to get back to where we are or we want to be from last year's team. I thought with some scores, the loss to the NBA and some different things that, you know, maybe KU isn't going to have the year. Well, I was certainly wrong. They look like one of the top teams in the country. But I think preseason expectation, you're looking for probably a Sweet 16 appearance, probably repeat in the Big 12. I think that was, you know, certainly on the table. And for K-State, preseason expectations, 15 games, wins. You know, like, I mean, I don't even know what you could say most Wildcat fans were thinking as far as where they want to see this program go. Probably just a little bit more juice from the team, a little bit more competitive edge than what they had seen the last previous three or four seasons. I think that was probably a preseason expectation. And then maybe, you know, win a handful of games in the Big 12, obviously being projected last. So those are probably the preseason expectations set for each team. Now here we are, sitting here on January 18th after the first matchup between these two teams. I'm going to make my predicted projection, and you tell me how far off or maybe how close I might be, Derek. I would say for KU, repeat is definitely on the table. Based on what they've done, who they've played, who they've beaten, how they've looked, I think probably still the Big 12 championship if we're talking in-conference expectation, and then at least a Final Four at the very minimum. That's the expectation right now in Lawrence. Let's swing it over to K-State. I want to say you can win the conference because you're right there. You're number one, now sold number one place, 5-1 with the tiebreaker over KU. So you would have to certainly put them, say, okay, yes, an expectation would be hopefully to win the conference. Now, we talk about March Madness and the NCAA tournament. I'm going to say Sweet 16 would be a success with this team. I mean, anything at this point is bonus. I think you're playing with house money if you're K-State. I think based on preseason expectations, anything here from here on out is a bonus. But I think as we stand right now and you want to try to readjust those expectations, I certainly feel like Sweet 16 is attainable and should be the goal.
Yeah, well, it's hard to kind of put a number on it. It's a fun game. This is a fun game. I like this game. It's hard to kind of readjust expectations for K-State. I mean, I agree with you. I think this is a second weekend team at the very minimum. It certainly looks like that to me. Certainly things can happen in the NCAA tournament that we can't see coming. But I would argue that teams that play with house money, as K-State is clearly, I mean, you can ask anybody other than maybe Jerome Tang and a few people that are really close to the program that said, oh, we knew we were going to be pretty good, or we had the chance to be pretty good. You know, everybody else would say that this is a team that is probably dangerous going forward. And in my opinion, I mean, again, things can happen. I know I'm trying to make points too early. We're 2 months away from things that matter. But you're at a point in the season now where you can start thinking about K-State as a legitimate dark horse and a super dangerous team that you do not want to play in the NCAA tournament. Given the fact that they had zero expectations coming into the season, teams like that tend to play with a little bit bigger chip on their shoulder, and it's easy locker room material when you're picked to finish last, and now you're going out here and you're beating the best teams in the nation. Fascinatingly, by the way, K-State is still 26 in KenPom, which it's a little surprising given the fact that they've beaten some really good teams up to this point. And I know the line was, I think KU was a 1.5 favorite when it closed last night. But so, you know, it's really close, and obviously the game could have gone the other way. But K-State's still 26th in KenPom, so not completely stalled there. I think this is a team that could make the second weekend in the tournament, maybe should even at this point. But anything that they do, again, making the NCAA tournament, which they are basically, I mean, it's not certain at this point, but right now they're 16-2. It's hard to see a path where they're not going to make the tournament because they already have, you know, good wins. They already have better wins than some teams are going to have the rest of the season in the tournament field. They already have better wins than that, and they have a few of them, and they will not have a bad loss the rest of the season. So, because the worst loss they could have is Texas Tech, and that's not a bad loss at all. It's still a top 60 team. So, I don't know. I think this is a team that could make the Sweet 16, maybe Elite Eight, you know, second weekend type of croup at this point, now that we've readjusted expectations. But I just think anything is extra gravy points for this K-State group, and fans, again, should be pretty much pleased with anything. I know it's hard to say that, but you got to step back in reality and say, whoa, where were we at last year, and look how far we've come. So if something happens and they flame out in the first round or whatever, it's going to be disappointing, but still a massive improvement for the trajectory of this program going forward. So I think fans have to keep that in mind.
Real quick, as we finish our thoughts about this college basketball game and talking about K-State and KU, TCU in Kansas, that's the next game for the Jayhawks. That'll be on Saturday, a noon start there. And then you head to Baylor, so you're at home, then away, and then you're on the road against Kentucky in a rare midseason non-conference matchup that I think will be a much better game than people are thinking at this point. Kentucky pulls off a win over a solid Georgia team in the SEC, an improving Georgia team. I think they won by 14 points last night, and here we go. Everybody's talking about, you know, coming for Calipari's head, and Kentucky started to turn things around. They're getting a little bit more healthy, and they're playing better basketball as of late, and then back for that matchup. So that's the three games for KU. Let's take a look at the Kansas State schedule moving forward and their three games before meeting up with Kansas again. They have Texas Tech, Iowa State, Florida, and then they're back against KU. Derek, last thing on this. I know we've talked quite a bit about this game, but certainly the biggest thing of the night, at least in our region. More than likely, K-State, easier schedule there. You're looking at should be a win against Texas Tech at home coming up on Saturday. They're probably not going to be favored against Iowa State, especially after what Iowa State did at Texas last night, especially at Hilton on the road, tough place to play. And then you get Florida at home, a team that is very vulnerable, especially with a win, or especially with a loss potentially to K-State. So probably K-State, you're looking at 2-1. KU, I mean, what do you make of that? I know that Kentucky game might be a little bit harder than people had originally thought, but realistically, I mean, outside chance at both these teams going 3-0 this next stretch, and I would say K-State's got the easier road until these two teams meet again.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think I agree with that, first of all. I think Kansas has a more consistently kind of steady schedule when you look at TCU, what Baylor's been able to do. I think Baylor, by the way, is getting absolutely no attention. Obviously, they lost their first few Big 12 games, and they've struggled in conference play, but that is a team that is legitimate. So let's not just shove off the Bears into the corner and say, oh, you know, they're going to be a win for teams. Like, they're a legitimate team. They're a top 20 team in computer rankings. And I know, again, the top 25 doesn't give them much credit, but K-State really had to grind to win that game in overtime. Really fun game that was, by the way, last week. But Kentucky's in the mix there. I got home to see some of the back end of the Kentucky-Georgia game last night, and Kentucky looks a lot better. And yes, you're right, they're getting healthy, but they just kind of have a different feel around them. At some point, you know, you kind of see, I think it's interesting that with John Calipari and the way that he coaches, like, he's got an energetic style sometimes. Like, he got a technical last night for being on the floor, and I just think that that's a good thing for Kentucky, that he's invested and he's involved, because there have been moments in the past with teams that, with his team especially, that he has kind of checked out and kind of shut it down on the sideline. Well, that wasn't the case last night, and he was coaching hard against a Mike White-led Georgia team. That, by the way, Georgia, again, as you mentioned, very much improved team for the Bulldogs in Athens after the Tom Crean era ended. But I think Kentucky's a team that you really got to be careful with if you're KU. Not an easy place to win at all. Like, people want to talk about fog, and I think it's probably the best venue in college basketball. It is, you know, statistically the loudest venue in college basketball. It's certainly in the top five. But I think people don't give Rupp enough credit either, just from its sheer size and the fact that the alumni base there is massive in supporting UK. So it'll be a fun game. I'm looking forward to that. I agree with you, though. I think K-State has a little bit of an easier path. Obviously, they've got that game at Iowa State, which I don't think they're going to win. Iowa State is still 5-1 in this conference, and I know they're not a local team, but at some point we're going to have to talk about them because they could win this league. And there's another team. It's like the inverse. I mean, KU, again, a team that was probably picked in the top couple in everybody's Big 12 standings, at the very least, you know, third or fourth. But Iowa State and K-State, these are two teams that were supposed to be toward the bottom of this conference, and they have flipped things on their head and turned it around and made this for a very fun Big 12 season.
Yeah, certainly can't wait for the finish. We're going to actually talk about what we kind of expect as far as maybe some surprises and maybe somebody who we think might sneak back up into those top ranks of the standings in the Big 12 a little bit later on in the show. But what we're going to do is we're going to chat high school basketball in our opening segment, but I think we're going to bring on Adam Kadavy here after our first break in the morning roundup. Adam, a little bit more closer in tune with that K-State program, maybe a differing opinion coming a little bit more so from the inside there from Mr. Kadavy. So we're going to take our first break here in the morning roundup. We come right back out. We'll hear from Adam Kadavy. We'll recap, obviously, what's been going on in Scott City. Beavers have their coaches show tonight. And then after a win on Monday, they play themselves even deeper into the Sterling Invitational. We'll chat about that and hear more about this game. Somebody that's seen a lot of K-State basketball in his time. That's Adam Kadavy. We'll come back on the other end of this break. First segment in the book, second segment coming right up on the morning roundup here on a Wednesday morning.